Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. Sorry, I didn't get you time to respond. Tim and Carol are both heading west this morning. Carol and Mike took the youth on Friday morning, headed out to Arizona to view the Grand Canyon. And Lynette and Tim are flying out today, and they're all meeting up in Lybrook, New Mexico for a work camp. And so things are a little different this morning. We're thankful for Laura here to lead our music. If you would, please stand for our gathering prayer and call to worship. Lord of creation, you are the author of all that is good and true. Give our hearts courage to trust in your goodness and power, that we may not live in fear, but with confidence that you are doing a new thing, even in our troubles. In the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, amen. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion.
And to you shall our house be performed.
O you who answer prayer,
to you all flesh shall come.
When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us,
you forgive our transgressions.
Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts.
We shall be
by awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation.
You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
By your strength, you establish the mountains.
You are heard in your might.
You silence the roaring of the seas.
The roaring of the waves
Those who live at Earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You visit the earth and water it.
You bring it into
the river of God is full of water.
You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it.
You water its furrows abundantly.
Setting its ridges, softening its showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty. The pastures of the wilderness overflow.
The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks.
The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
As we sing, Great is the Lord.
There are many ways to share the gifts which God has given us through our time, skills, and finances. We now have the opportunity to share our finances with others here at Oak Grove and beyond as we continue our work here to advance the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 8, 26 through 39. When they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, as he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him to order them not to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of swine feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down a steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to see Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord.
Let's sing together, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind."
Old Testament scholar Michael Heiser says of Scripture, if it's weird, it's important. With that thought, we should take particular notice of today's gospel lesson. Demons, pigs, tombs, self-mutilation. It's hard to get much weirder than that. Before digging into the story, though, let's look at the larger context. One can categorize the life of Jesus portrayed in the Gospel of Luke into four major parts: the birth narratives through his baptism and temptation, his Galilean ministry, his journey to Jerusalem, and his time in Jerusalem. Today's story takes place at the end of his Galilean ministry. During this time, Jesus gathers disciples, proclaims the fulfillment of God's kingdom, both in word and deed, and gives moral teachings directly and through parables. Jesus' proclamation through his deeds is displayed by his power over all of the powers which would mar and destroy humanity. Over and over again, Jesus uses his power to heal, to rule over the destructive forces of nature, to raise the dead, and to release people from the bondage of demons. These displays of power are all messianic. Earlier in Luke, Jesus, in answering John the Baptist's question as to if he really is the expected one, refers back to Isaiah's messianic description from Luke 7:22. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Here in this story, we have a further display of power. It's a bit different in quite a significant way, as it takes place in Gentile territory. This area, known as the Decapolis, is a group of 10 city-states on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. In last week's lesson from the Revised Common Lectionary, Jesus and his disciples get in a boat to cross over from the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. We're all familiar with what happens. They all fall asleep, and a raging storm comes up, awakening all but Jesus, and the disciples are terrified. They wake Jesus up, chastising him for sleeping. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and then asks the disciples where their faith is, as though they've misplaced it. While one would think the disciples would be relieved, they weren't. Instead, they're afraid. And then they land in Gentile country. They enter a scene which would be repugnant for any practicing Jew. A man who is demon-possessed falls at Jesus' feet. He's so badly abused by these unclean spirits that he lives among the dead, self-harms, breaks bonds that are made to restrain him, and is unclothed. Jesus commands the spirits to come out of the man. The demons speak to Jesus using his name. And this is significant in the ancient world, as it was believed that if one used another's name, that gave them power over the other. This, of course, had no power over Jesus. And then Jesus asked their name, and they gave the name of Legion. Legion was a Roman military term which meant a unit consisting of thousands of soldiers. That the oppression of this man reflected the oppression of Rome's military presence in that region would not have been lost on Luke's initial readers. So the unclean spirit then asked permission to enter a herd of pigs rather than be sent into the abyss. Jesus grants the request, and upon entering the pigs, they run down the cliff and die in the sea. Just as the demon's nature was to cause the destruction of the man, their presence in the swine had the same effect, and they end up in the abyss by their own doing. Those tending the herd ran off to tell what happened in the city and country. They gave testimony to what Jesus had done. The people came to see for themselves, and what they find is a man whose status has been completely reversed. All through the Gospels, we find that Jesus is an expert reversalist. The man is now clothed, in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet. To sit at a rabbi's feet was a term used to describe a disciple. So here he is now, Jesus' student and allied with him. The people who came to see had a different reaction, however. They were afraid, just as Luke tells us the disciples had been afraid when Jesus calmed the storm. In their fear, all the people from the region asked Jesus to leave, and so he does. Though the man whom Jesus restored begged to be with him, Jesus has another mission for him, to be restored to his community and to tell what God has done for him. The Greek word Luke uses for what the man did indicates that he spoke passionately. It is the word charison. The man obeys not just telling, but preaching what Jesus had done for him. Note the significance. Jesus asked him to tell what God had done for him, and he innately understood what Jesus was doing, what God himself was doing. He told what Jesus had done for him. So, what can we learn from this weird and thus important story? It seems oftentimes when we see the power of God's goodness, it doesn't bring relief but fear. And why is this? I think too often we become comfortable with things that get in the way of God's will, as long as it's not too inconvenient for us. The people in the area of the Gerasenes were content to let one man be overwhelmed by evil as they found it a more reasonable price to pay than to give their allegiance to the God who has power over that evil. What might God ask of them? Stop sacrificing gods? Give allegiance to a different Lord other than Caesar? Forfeit a herd of swine? What might God ask of us? Are there those, including ourselves, whose well-being we are willing to disregard for our temporal comfort and convenience? God loves people and will use his power, short of violating one's free will, to restore us to wholeness. Jesus, God with us, who became a first century Jewish man, crossed over the sea, subduing forces which would destroy him and his disciples, entered Gentile land that was defiled by the worship of other gods, flouted taboos regarding dead bodies, encounters with blood, unclean spirits, and unclean animals, to save one man oppressed by evil. At every stage in his Galilean ministry, Jesus demonstrates how great is God's love for all humanity. This is why he can tell us to love our enemies and to do good to those who persecute us. Behind those acts of those who would harm us are forces and powers from which those very people need to be released. It is the very reason Jesus teaches us to pray for our enemies. Jesus loves them, and he loves us. If we allow him, he will stop at nothing to make us whole and uniquely his. Though it may be uncomfortable or inconvenient or downright costly, it is nothing to fear. Perfect love casts out fear, and God, as Jesus so perfectly demonstrates, is love. Good Shepherd, you search and find the one who is lost, whether across the Sea of Galilee, across the river, or across the tracks. Give us eyes to see and hearts to love the least, the littlest, and the lost, the very ones whom you gather into your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you please stand with me and sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5 of How Firm a Foundation?
May the peace of our Lord be with you this day forward as you walk in his light and goodness.